now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults and the cheese in between. The movies are reviewed, entertainment is grade A, and I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and this time, not a bot, not a bug, not really much of a babe, but we're talking about Kraven from 2024, yes, the Marvel movie, and we'll get to it right after this.
My son, we are hunters, the greatest the world has ever known.
Охотник до сказки.
Каждой сказки есть правда.
Who's next?
I heard the noise of thunder.
Are you like your father, a gangster? A killer?
And I heard a voice. And behold, hell followed with him.
There's a man going round taking names.
My son.
And he decides who to free and who to blame.
There's an animal stronger than you can imagine.
The hairs on your arm will stand up.
Tell me about this hunter.
Some are born and some are dying.
Once you're on his list, there's only one way off.
When the man comes around. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust.
You think you're some kind of honor? Some kind of code. You're just another man.
Whoever is righteous,
hunting for a trophy.
Let him be righteous too.
Just like our father.
When the man comes around. When the man comes around.
Embrace who you really are, son. And you will become a legend.
When the man comes around. When the man comes around.
Kraven was released December 13th, 2024. Yes, 1 year ago, folks. With 127-minute running time. Your director here is J.C. Chander. Jeffrey McDonald Chander. He's known for Margin Call in 2011, All Is Lost in 2013, The Most Violent Year in 2014. He's been nominated for an Academy Award, The Golden Bear, and two Board of Review. So, pretty distinguished director here. Screenplay credit go to Art Markham, Matt Holliday, and Richard Weck. Story by Richard Weck. based on, of course, the Marvel comic. This is Kraven the Hunter, which is from the Spider-Man comics. Your producer here, of course, is AVRR, because it's Marvel kind of stuff going on. Matt Tomek and David Hasselhalter. Householder. Anyway, your star here is Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's the biggest name in this whole movie. Ariana DeBose is in this. Fred Henshin, Alessandro Vinova, Christopher Abbott, and Russell Crowe plays. He's in the beginning and kind of at the end, but he's not in the movie a ton, but he's in here. Russell Crowe, not looking like he did in Gladiator, looking like he ate the guy who was in Gladiator. Anyway, sorry, Russ. You're heavy, brew. I'm not sure. You know. Anyway, music by Benjamin Wolfith, Eugene Gelipari, and Sacha Gelipari. Columbia Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, Arad Productions, Matt Tomek Productions, of course. Your distribution company is Sony Pictures. Why? Because this lives in the Spider-Man universe, which means it's Sony, even though it's Marvel. Your budget's anywhere from $110 to $130 million, with a return on that of $62 million. Yeah. So, you might ask yourself, why in the world are you covering Kraven? Well, one, I didn't pay to watch it. I watched it on Netflix, so it's all included in my Netflix subscription. Two, I had heard it was god-awful. So I said, well, how bad could this thing really be? And three, if I'm going to sit down and spend 2 hours and change watching something, you think I'm not going to talk about it? Good Lord, where you been, bro? Anyway, so Kraven was originally considered, the character of Kraven was considered for several different Spider-Man movies, but passed on each time. Eventually, what happens is you have Kraven the Hunter, which is this what this is called, which goes into production, and then they wind up attaching, what's his face on it? Aaron Taylor Johnson. Now, Aaron Taylor Johnson, of course, he was Quicksilver in the Marvel Universe before, and he was, of course, in Godzilla, along with the other, you know, all the other countless things he's been in that you all know him from. He's got a Golden Globe nod. He's been nominated for the British Film Academy Award and the British Independent Film Award. Obviously, he's been in movies for a while. A lot of people might know him from Godzilla. He was also obviously in, he's Kick-Ass in Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, Electric Boogaloo. No, it's not really the name of it. And he obviously was in Age of Ultron, not Voltron. That's a different kind of thing. So he played Pietro Maximoff. And then he was, of course, the other films that he was in, wound up coming from, he got his Golden Globe nod from Nocturnal Animals. He was in Tenet. He was in Bullet Train. He was in The Fall Guy. And then 28 years later, which just came out this year. And of course, Nosferatu, which you can hear us talk about on The Vault. If you go check that out. Alrighty, so let's get rock and rolling on this. Following the death of his mother, Sergei Kravenoff, and his half-brother Dmitry are taken by their father, Nikolai Kravenoff. Now, Sergei, Aaron Taylor Johnson. We'll call him Aaron Taylor Thomas. And then you have his father, Nikolai, which is Russell Crowe, to prepare to take over the drug trafficking operation. During a hunter trip in Ghana, Sergei is injured protecting his brother from a lion. The lion then brings him to a girl named Calypso. And Calypso is, of course, played by Ariana DeBose. DeBose. It's like French, D-E-B-O-S-E, DeBose. Not DaBose, like would be, you know, anyway. Who heals him with a serum and calls for rescue, leaving him a tarot card with him. Sergei soon discovers that his physical attributes have become animalistic. When Nikolai reveals he killed the lion to teach his son a lesson, they discuss that Sergei flees to an animal sanctuary owned by his mother in Russia, where we start seeing all his things. Now, before we get too much deeper, they show flashbacks, they show whatever. Okay, so what's the problem here? It's not that they didn't get good-looking people to be in the movie. It's not that they shot it on poor film. It's not even that the characters have been played out a million times.
his abilities and him kind of, I don't know how to do this, not the superpowers, but him like jumping around, right? It's fake. It's so fake. You can tell it's CG. And you're saying, oh, but Jay, you gotta, okay, I can divorce myself from a lot of things, but like he's real and then he becomes CG and then he's real again. And I'm like, oh boy. And I know that takes me out of a lot of things. I'm sure that takes some other people out of things too, but that's another story. Anyway. And then the animals look fake too. That bothers me. When you got CG lions and CG things in there, okay, I get that you don't want to have a real lion, but it still looks like CG is going to be a problem. Anyway, 16 years later, Sergei, now known by Kraven, is a vigilante who hunts criminals. So Kraven the Hunter, to me, is a villain. Obviously, we want to go with Kraven being a good guy here, make him a hero. Now, officially, quote-unquote, officially not part of the Spideyverse. We all know this is part of the Spideyverse. You know, but we'll see. I think Disney lost their right, not Disney, Sony lost their rights to make Spider-Man movies, I think. I think they lost it this year. I don't remember. I'm old. But anyway, the whole idea is that they could still make Venom movies and stuff like that, but all those stuff was crossover. Anyway, this movie didn't make enough money. It ain't going to matter. Where are we? Right. So, after killing an arms trafficker in a Russian prison, Kraven travels to London for Dimitri's birthday. Their reunion is short-lived when mercenaries abduct Dimitri. When Nikolai refuses to pay the ransom, of course, Kraven tracks down Calypso, now working as a lawyer, and convinces her to help him. Meanwhile, Dimitri meets the man behind the operation, Alexei Setikiv. He's the Rhino. He's playing the Rhino, but not the Rhino like we know the Rhino. The Rhino like this guy is turning into a Rhino, like a humanoid Rhino. But that's another story. Where are we here? Gathering strength and vigilance of Rhino. Alexei proposes an alliance to overthrow Nikolai, discovering Kraven's connection to Dimitri. Alexei lures him to a monastery in Turkey, but Kraven survives the ambush, and the Alexei hires the Foreigner, an assassin who uses ocular hypnosis to disorient his targets to kill Kraven. He also carries a gun that's got a neurotoxin bullet or trank in it that makes you hallucinate and then paralyzes you. Tracking Kraven and Calypso to the sanctuary, Alesky and the Foreigner ambush Kraven, drugging him with a neurotoxin. Aforementioned neurotoxin. The Foreigner attacks Kraven, but Calypso kills him with a crossbow and retrieves Kraven's and revives Kraven. She shoots him right through the eye. It's great. He then uses a buffalo stampede to trap Alesky, who, despite turning into a rhino and briefly overpowering Kraven, is ultimately killed. And he uses the port on the side that he puts the serum in to keep him from becoming a rhino all the time. He uses that to his advantage, and then they kill him. Disconcerting that Nikolai was the only one who revealed his existence to Alexei, Kraven tracks down his father for answers. Nikolai reveals that he knew Alexei was targeting him and manipulated his son to remove him from the situation. Kraven steals all the ammunition of his father's gun as a bear attacks, and Russell Crowe cannot beat a digital bear in this one. Sorry, Russ can't. I mean, ask Liam Neeson. He didn't beat bears. He beat wolves. I mean, I know it's the gray, but you know, just saying. Anyway, 1 year later, Kraven visits Dimitri and is shocked that he has willingly inherited the father's criminal enterprise. Having gained shape-shifting abilities from a doctor who experiments on Alesky, Dimitri reveals this to Kraven and states that, that despite his claims of being a moral superior, he and Nikolai were the same hunters searching for their next big game trophy. At home, Kraven discovers a note from Nikolai with the vest made from the skin of the killed lion, which he puts on, and that is the very famous look for Kraven, Kraven with the lion's mane around his head and such. Okie dokie. So, Kraven opened, it grossed $25 million US and 37, US and Canada, 37 in other territories, and it made a total of $62 million worldwide. It opened third, when it opened in December, it opened third, behind Moana 2, which had been out for a few weeks, and Wicked, which has been out for like a month. Yeah, people just did not like this movie. The problem is, it's nothing special. It's, I don't know. I don't think this would have been good if this was 1993 or 1995 or whatever, because it just doesn't, I don't know, just not much meat on these bones here. There's some good stuff. I like the some of the concepts here, but it's like, I don't know, Kraven as a, him being Kraven the Hunter means nothing. There is no like, wow, my God, I love Kraven the Hunter. Yeah, but I don't know who this Kraven the Hunter is. And yeah, you're saying, Jay, you're not a comic book guy. You need to read like these 55 comics. I should not have to read a series of comic books to know who the someone is in a movie that's about this person. It's one of the hard things about Marvel. They've made so many movies, and it doesn't have to be just Marvel proper with Disney, just any Marvel in general, that they expect you to kind of know who these people are. Well, I'm going to guarantee you, if I watched this with Kelly, which I didn't, she would be like, who's this guy? Well, she'd know who Aaron Taylor Johnson is, but she wouldn't know who Kraven the Hunter is. She wouldn't know why he's like the way he is. She wouldn't have got that. I mean, they show you the lion's blood going into him and then him getting the potion and yada, yada, yada. But there's just no connection here. And maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's because I'm not a big Spider-Man fan, not a big comic book guy. But like I knew, like when you put Spider-Man on there, you can kind of figure out who Spider-Man is. He's big enough. Is Kraven a big enough character where people who don't know the mainstream stars are going to be interested in him? Question mark there, right? Kind of thing. You know, is that the case? Is it a case where maybe Kraven is too niche a character for his own film to start out like this? Could it be that maybe Kraven, if he was in a Spider-Man movie and introduced there and then have his breakout movie? I don't know. I know they really were happy with like the Venoms because they made three of those. And the thing about the Venom movies is that like Venom just like totally translates. And let's be honest, when Venom hit the scene, if you're the right age, you know what I'm talking about. Venom was huge. He was humongous. Like such a big thing. Venom, that the covers of him and the symbiote and all that stuff. Wow, did that hit hard. Kraven's an older character. I don't know necessarily that anyone would even know who the flip it is. But I can say this. I have seen worse movies than this. It's just, this was not overly exciting. The CG at this point is just out of control and not in a good way. The fight scenes, I'd much rather see physical fights than the CG kind of things. But it is what it is. And again, I've wasted 2 hours watching worse than this. It just was, this was nothing special. It was nothing that like, wow, this is the best. Oh my God, I gotta love this thing. I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there who gave it great ratings, but it's like, I can't imagine this is anyone's favorite movie to go watch. It's just blasé at times. And you know, not that it's confusing, but you just don't know who these people are, nor do you have a care about them. And I get it that you can't make every movie just like, you know, Avengers and whatever, but it's like, I feel like I needed more information than I had. Now, in all fairness, we watched Brave New World, the Captain America movie, and my wife and I watched Captain America and Falcon, or no, Falcon and Winter Soldier. We watched that thing. So I had some background there for this, and I've seen the other Marvel movies, but even then, you had to know, like 2008's The Hulk? Like, who watched that more than once? Kind of thing. Maybe you watched it twice. I mean, I saw it in the theater with Kelly, but like, I don't remember that movie, not well enough to know exactly what's going on. Now I can piece things together because I know who these characters are, but Kelly had no idea who they were. This is a perfect example here. She would come in and be like, oh, I know that guy. I know his face. He's in this other movie, but she wouldn't know that Kraven the Hunter's kind of not a good guy. She wouldn't know that like this is playing up that character or anything like that. She'd just be like, okay, you know? And that's the hard part. You're trying to, you know, market these movies to the mass audiences. And I think they sometimes miss the boat here because they try to, okay, we have to market to the mass audience. Got it. But we want to keep it true to more to the comics so we pay honor to the comic book fans. Got it. But those two trains are not often on the same track. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not quite going to get those all to work together. But be it as it may. Did you see Kraven? Did you watch it? Did you watch it on Netflix? Did you pay for it? Because I didn't. Now, think about that. The guy who supports all physical media loves the idea of it. I did not buy this. This, I didn't buy. I didn't buy Madam Web. I'm trying to remember the other thing. Like, I just didn't plunk my money down for it. Because I'm not spending $30 on a 4K and a Blu-ray and everything else for a movie that I'll watch exactly one time. And that I'm talking about it here is because I figured, hey, you know, let me at least cover this thing now that it's turning a year old. So, anyway, do you got any good stories? I mean, was Kraven maybe one of your favorite characters from the comic book or something? Like, do you remember Kraven from Spider-Man's Amazing Friends? Like I do, because that Kraven was cool, even if he wore ballet flats and tights. Anyway, so yeah, hit me up. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you guys. And of course, folks, like we say, you know, we tell you here, this is a labor of love. Obviously, I'm not making any money or making anything off of these. This is all me just trying to share with you guys and spend some time, maybe bring some happiness to your day. So, folks, like we say here at Box Bugs and Babes, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo. Once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc., are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?